Welcome to Behind the Investigation with Atlanta News First Investigates. I'm Chief Investigator Brendan Keefe, and I'm joined today by investigative reporter Andy Perotti. And this story, Andy, is about safety. It is about your family. Mm-hmm. It's about anyone who is either a driver or a passenger on the roadways across the state of Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. We found out about this case. I actually knew about this case for years and have been trying to gain access to information that I knew was only available because an attorney got it through mechanisms through the court. And the facts are, in 2018, a young woman hit a guardrail, but instead of it deflecting or doing what it's supposed to do to keep her on the road, she went through it. And here's why.
When I was a baby, she had made me a picture book.
Naya Hunter shares memories of a woman who looked forward to being a mother, her mother, Catrice.
I found out I was pregnant with you June 17th, and this is her second trimester. It really made me feel loved and wanted that she took the time to do all this.
In 2018, the 30-year-old mother just got a job promotion. Clarissa Hunter is her aunt.
You know, doing good for herself, getting ready to, you know, get our own place.
Things were looking good.
Things were looking great for her. And then, boom.
A female involved in an accident.
That car is... Hey. Oh, my goodness. Ain't no way. Yeah, she can't be alive.
It's unclear how the crash started, but we know how it ended. On a summer evening in 2018, Catrice's SUV went over this guardrail, slamming into a steel pole on Interstate 85 in Atlanta, killing her. Google Street View shows the same guardrail damaged and deemed non-functional by the state 10 months before the crash.
The guardrail damaged for a long time.
Jeb Butler and Matt Kahn represented Catrice's family.
It became really clear pretty quickly that this guardrail had been damaged because the evidence was right there for anyone to see. Go to Google and find it.
This is how Catrice's vehicle would likely have responded if it hit a functional guardrail the day of the crash. But here's what actually happened. The damaged guardrail unable to prevent the vehicle from hitting the steel pole.
When you learned that, what went through your mind?
Negligence was the first thing that came to my mind, because now we know, had the guardrail been up, Catrice would still be here.
Martin Robbins Fence Company is the state contractor hired to repair damaged guardrails. According to documents obtained from the Georgia Department of Transportation, the state repeatedly told the company it wasn't making repairs within 21 days required by the contract, sending nearly two dozen emails and letters notifying the company it was in default. The warnings years before the crash. While GDOT, Martin Robbins, and another contractor did not accept liability, it agreed to pay $40 million to Catrice and her family as part of a lawsuit settled this past October.
So one of the most egregious facts of this case to me was that from day one, all of the defendants admitted that they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
With Georgia taxpayers on the hook for millions of dollars and GDOT's role in Catrice's death, you may expect guardrail repairs are now completed on time. 5 years after her crash, it's still a problem. According to state repair logs uncovered by Atlanta News First, GDOT continues to not meet its 21-day repair deadline. Of the 370 defective guardrails identified in this December report produced by the agency, one-third of the repairs took longer than the required time, some more than 100 days. The state also rehired Martin Robbins in 2022, a contract worth $1.8 million.
I'd love to tell you I was surprised, but I'm not. What we've seen of the industry and the way it operates is frankly not encouraging.
Okay, we've got our fearless leader, GDOT.
Russell McMurray is the commissioner in charge. He declined interview requests, instead sending this statement writing, "Any injury or fatality that occurs on Georgia roadways is devastating to all concerned." It goes on to say it continues to make significant progress in the maintenance, repair, and inventory of guardrails throughout this state.
I know that she's watching down on us.
A young woman without her mother, an estate agency accused of not doing its job, potentially putting Georgia drivers in danger.
Catrice is dead and deceased because they dropped the ball.
So, Andy, what is happening with the contractor who was supposed to have repaired that guardrail involving Miss Hunter back in 2018? Yeah. What is the contractor saying, and what's next?
So the contractor is Martin Robbins Fence Company. They still have a contract with the Georgia Department of Transportation, but they're now servicing another part of the state. They used to service and fix and replace guardrails in the Metro Atlanta Area District. They're now servicing a different part of the area. And according to Georgia Department of Transportation, they're now fixing guardrails 80% of the time within that 21-day required time frame. I got an email from the president of Martin Robbins, this contractor, and he provided some really interesting context of why there were delays in 2018 during the time Catrice Hunter hit the guardrail, ultimately killing her. And he said at the time, right before her death, or maybe about a year before her death, the only people that were reporting broken or defective guardrails were the public, law enforcement, or DOT employees.
Interesting.
And then all of a sudden, the state hired a contractor to literally drive around Metro Atlanta and look for them. And they were reporting them immediately. Well, that drastically increased the number of guardrails that they were seeing into the system that needed to be fixed. But they didn't tell Martin Robbins, according to the company. So they were getting all these new requests for repair, and they were wondering where they were all coming from, but they didn't tell the company. So they didn't have at that time the resources to fix those guardrails during the time frame. They tried their best, they said, but they had limited resources at that time, which led to the delays.
I mean, I imagine, and I don't know the answer. I mean, in Georgia, there has to be hundreds of thousands of miles of highway that the DOT is responsible for. And it's literally impossible for them to monitor every mile of highway every single day. And that's why they do rely so much on reports from the public and law enforcement and that kind of thing. So I guess, is it even reasonable to hold a contractor to 21 days if the contractor doesn't even know that the guardrail is damaged?
It's a really good question. Some of the issues that Martin Robbins Fence Company, that contractor, stated in 2018 and even today is that there are supply chain issues. There are liability concerns, meaning that lawsuits have happened now, and all those and labor shortages. So all those things combined certainly contribute to the delays. It was happening in 2018, and it's still happening today.
You know, we're all about solutions at Atlanta News First Investigates. Is one of the possible solutions requiring law enforcement to, as part of their reporting process, when filling out a uniform motor vehicle incident report, that they also identify or rather report to the Department of Transportation or a specific number or email address? I mean, we're talking about 2024 here.
Yeah.
Isn't there some mechanism that could be very easily implemented on a statewide basis?
I don't get the sense that there's issues with reporting guardrails, damaged, defective guardrails. I think that they're now putting it into a system and monitoring it much better. I just don't think, based on my reporting and what I've witnessed and this people I spoke with, that they simply, these contractors don't have enough people to do it. The supplies take a long time to get. To fix anything would cost more money, and that's very difficult to do right now with our state's budget.
You know, one of your reporting techniques is to work with plaintiff's attorneys, and it's very effective because a lot of people say, oh, lawsuits, you know, tort reform and this kind of thing. But civil plaintiff's attorneys actually make the world a better place. Now, I know that's a controversial statement, but because it takes lawsuits like this, until it costs an entity, you don't change behavior. Unless there's a cost to somebody for negligence or for messing up, you don't get these solutions. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. $40 million. That's how much this lawsuit involving just Catrice Hunter's case and her passenger. $40 million. Georgia taxpayers were on the hook for $3 million of that. And so it's concerning to have our findings in this story show that 33% of 370 guardrails, defective guardrails, were not fixed during that time period. It is concerning knowing that so much money has been spent in this lawsuit and taxpayers were on the hook for a lot of it, for this to continue to be happening.
Yeah, and it obviously shouldn't take the loss of a life. Mm-hmm. Forget the $40 million, losing her life.
Exactly.
To her family, that you can't ever get that life back. But it does sound like things are better today than they were in 2018.
Possibly.
I mean, okay.
as the story showed, 33% of 370 defective guardrails were not fixed during the required period of time.
Wow.
So it's still an ongoing issue. They're making strides, according to the state, to address it, to more actively monitor it. But it would be difficult for me to say that it's better.
One last question I want to ask is, if I'm driving down the road and I see a damaged guardrail, what should I do?
I think you should note it as soon as you get to a situation where it's safe to park and write down the location of it, report it. The Georgia Department of Transportation has a way to do that. We have a link in this story on AtlantaNewsFirst.com on how to do that. So just document it. Especially if it's in an area that you travel a lot, that you know that you could be the subject of a situation where if it's not repaired, you could get hurt. But that's what I would recommend. I had people reach out to me after this story aired that lives in different parts of the state saying, oh, this is happening in my area. And my response to them was not just, you know, report it, but if you can safely take a picture of it,
great idea,
to not only send it to me, but send it to the state so they can see exactly the issue. I recommended that. But again, only if you can safely do it. Oftentimes it's so difficult to literally pull off on the side of the road and in the interstate to do that.
No, I mean, you want to be safe, but of course you also want to mark that, the mile marker.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even notice them until something like this, but if you write or just even make a mental note, mile marker 17 or 17 and a half on such and such roadway and the direction of travel, north, south, east, west, probably makes sense. Thank you so much, Andy, for your reporting on this. You've been listening to Behind the Investigation with Atlanta News First Investigates. You can stream us on Atlanta News First Plus and also at AtlantaNewsFirst.com and YouTube. And you can listen to our podcast, Behind the Investigation, wherever you get your podcasts.